interest
of the story. In the waning winter of 1776, Esek Hopkins, recently appointed first commodore of America's first continental navy, was ordered to engage Lord Dunmore's fleet in Chesapeake Bay. But subsequent reconnaissance revealed the British vessels languished there were still utterly unmolested. Where in the world was Hopkins? Neither he nor any of the eight warships, of which our first navy was comprised, were anywhere to be found. Well, the rest of the story is that the Continental Navy had sailed into Chesapeake Bay. Commodore Hopkins had spyglassed the British fleet at a safe distance, and yet so heavily armed were they, so impressive were their numbers, that instead of attacking, he turned tail and ran. But what now? Return and confess his cowardice? Unthinkable. So the Commodore improvised a clever, comparatively cautious alternative plan. General Washington had lamented, quote, "Our want of gunpowder is inconceivable." Well, Commodore Hopkins knew where he could find some gunpowder. In a seaside stronghold, defended at best by a handful of half-hearted British militia. Surely, Hopkins envisioned, the defenders would see the entire Continental Navy bearing down on them and promptly surrender their munitions. So, off they sailed. In the dark just before the dawn of Sunday, March 3, Hopkins and his fleet were fast approaching their objective, but they were spotted by a local pilot at the tiller of a little boat who immediately returned to shore and reported what he had seen. "How many ships?" British Governor Munford Brown asked incredulously. "Eight ships," he was told. "Very well." Minutes later, Commodore Hopkins heard the thunder of cannon and then turned as their billows of smoke rose from shore. Impossible, he thought, but apparently no less true, that the fort he had imagined so vulnerable was shooting at him even before he had dropped anchor. So, once again, Commodore Frady Cat fled in terror, headed for home empty-handed. And for his repeated and remarkable lack of courageous leadership, he was dismissed in disgrace. For you see, to avoid a dangerous engagement in Chesapeake Bay, Hopkins retreated with his fleet, the entire Continental Navy, retreated all the way to Fort Nassau in the Bahamas. And yet even there he met his match, even though he faced no resistance at all. For there were merely three ancient cannon at the decrepit British fort, no cannon balls that anybody could find. In fact, the only thing they were good for was sounding the alarm to alert the loyal British subjects living nearby so they could run for cover in the event of an attack. That's why Nassau's Governor Brown, still in his bedroom slippers, ran down the hill to the old fort, lighted those three cannon, weapons so useless that the impotent blasts blew all three of the cannons right off their mountings. Yes, I do mean to say that even though the British were only firing blanks, Commodore Hopkins still ran for his life, leaving tons of precious gunpowder behind. And one thing more, under Hopkins' command throughout the debacle that you have just relived was a certain young naval lieutenant. And from that embarrassing experience, he, that lieutenant, learned precisely what not to do. And you know that young officer as a future naval hero, John Paul Jones. Only now you know the rest of the story.